this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
To another edition of Get It Right, Texoma with the trio here. It's Mike Hendren, Terry McAdam, and Trey Sorala. And our very special guest.
Turned into a quartet.
It is a
hello,
quartet.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, thank you. I must be going.
We did the Three Stooges and the smart guy. You take a guess which ones are which.
There you go. Anyway, our very special guest with us this week on the program is one of our Wichita County commissioners, Mickey Fincannon. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Nice to be here. Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah. Pull your mic a little closer to you there.
I am great.
A little more. Yes. Get a little more directional. There you go. All right. Awesome. So, Wichita County Commissioner, you've been on the Commissioner's Court how many years now, Mickey?
I've already been on 3 years. Went in November 20.
Right. Now, Commissioners, y'all are not term limited, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, we actually, Barry Mahler, I think, has been on his fourth and just got reelected. Well, he has an opponent now. Well,
but
yeah, he just won the primaries.
Yeah, he won the primaries. Yeah. I guarantee Barry's going to act like he's 10 points behind, but when it's all said and done. I think Barry's going to do a great job. But I'm just saying.
Barry does a good job. That is one thing. Anytime you're in a campaign, it's very hard not to treat it as you're behind all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very nerve-wracking type deal.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah.
So, give our listeners real quick, or watchers and listeners, a little bit of a background of what does a county commissioner do in
County
Texas?
Commissioner, pretty much for the most part, you're the CFO for the county. When I say the CFO, you're the chief financial officer for the county. Each commissioner runs his own road crew, his own precinct, takes care of all the roads, bridges, you know, bar ditches in their county, taking care of the mowing, keeping up with the road. But you're also the next biggest part of that is you're the money arm of the county. Mm-hmm. The four commissioners and the judge, they set the budget. They keep an eye on the spending throughout the county. They're in charge of all spending going on. If you have an auditor's department that audits it, keeps up with everything, and tabulates it. But the commissioners and the judge are the ones that approve or deny whatever spending there is.
No, is it that there's always four judges and a commissioner in Texas, or some counties have larger?
No, every county, 254 counties, all have four commissioners and one judge.
No matter how big or small the county is.
Correct.
Huh, interesting.
Wow.
Now, Harris County, I was at a school not too long ago talking with one of their staff members. Their county commissioner, my equivalent in Harris County, has 400 staff members, not counting their road and bridge.
Wow.
I'll say a little help.
Wow.
400 staff members.
And how many staff members do you have?
I have zero. We share one secretary, assistant, office assistant. The four of us share one. Wow. And I also have, as right now, five road and bridge crew. So that 400 staff did not include their road and bridge crew.
I forgot what county. There's the smallest county in Texas, not land size.
Loving.
Loving County is the smallest as far as
population
goes. You think about it, between county government and school board, half the damn population is serving in some sort of a government role.
You have to be. Yeah.
When I was elected, I went to new commissioner school with one of the new commissioners from Loving. There was 18 people in his precinct. He knows every one of them personally. Has ate dinner with every one of them. There's literally, and you're talking 18 people in his precinct, so you're looking at less than 100 throughout the county.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice when you know everybody that well. But everybody in the county has a role in either school government, city government, or county government.
Yeah.
Everybody is involved.
How many total in the county?
I think there's 100 or so.
Yeah, it's pretty
wow.
small. So basically, you don't get elected, you get appointed, because it's one of those, next, whose turn is it?
Right. Yeah, whose turn is to serve on this?
And if
this
somebody board. Dies, it really screws things up, doesn't it? Well, anyhow, so what's going on in Wichita County? Tell us, what are kind of the top three things that are going on that you guys are focusing on in the Commissioner's Court in Wichita County?
Well, at this time of year right now, it's probably one of our slowest times because we haven't fired up yet with our road work this year. Mm-hmm. We're haven't fired up with mowing. Budget time's not until late summer, fall, so we're not doing that. Really and truly, right now is the time where we're trying to get all our stuff ready for for a road and bridge work for the summer. We're trying to get tractors repaired, trying to get tractors in. That's what we're trying to do this time of year. Right now at the county, we probably have – we're trying to finish up, which y'all know, the annex courthouse. The courthouse annex building has been a – we've got a large remodel going on there. Part of it's finished. We probably like about another 40% of that building, 40% of that job being done. We're wrapping up several things right now in the courthouse that are construction projects that have been being worked on for the last several years. And we're finally getting started on the 30th District Courtroom, the rebuild from that flood incident that happened a little over a year ago.
Yeah. I know with the annex, this is the first remodel that the annex has had in since, what, the mid-70s, early 70s, something like that?
Because it was a car dealership at one time.
Yeah. Yes, it was a car dealership. It's been it's been several different things, but it probably is getting right now there's a lot of work being done to the annex, and I at first was a little hesitant whether I agreed with all of it, but a lot of it really and truly has come together right now, and a lot of it's very well needed. Yeah. I mean, most of y'all know I'm a pretty frugal person, so I definitely don't want to waste money. But if you're doing a remodel every, 50 years, that's probably not a bad thing.
No.
We tore out some bathrooms over there that were just completely rotted, in behind them.
They went away from the crank elevator? Used to be that elevator you had to go in and close it, had to crank the thing to get up there.
But, our elevators lately, I'll be honest with you, have had, let's just say new elevators are kind of like new refrigerators. They don't last near as long as they used
to. That's true.
We've had a lot of trouble with our current elevators, brand new elevators that we've spent, $1 million an elevator on, have been having lots of trouble.
I'm not even asking what brand you have. That's something I actually know about is elevators.
I wish we had more people in this city that knew about elevators, because everybody has to come from the Metroplex almost to work on them, and it just, it's a never-ending battle.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those industries where there's probably not quite enough business here,
correct, for
there to be a full-time dedicated crew.
At one time there were 5 full-time elevator men in Wichita Falls. There were 2 that worked for Otis, 1 that worked for Dover, 1 that worked for Westinghouse, and one for Esco. I grew up in the elevator business, so I understand. And so, but there were 5 in the 70s and in the 80s. There were 5 full-time, and maybe even into the – I don't think in the 90s there might have been 3 or 4, but there were 5 at one time that were full-time based in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
And there's still one elevator company here in town, Aspen.
Yeah.
And he's, as far as I know, a great service guy, but he's not somebody you can call to install a new elevator in your building. So usually you have to go to a company that's big enough to handle their own, can sell their own product, put it in, install it, and – they're not from here.
Yeah. Not an inexpensive procedure to do that.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
So on the big remodel down there, what is the goal on the interior? Of course, the exterior looks great. I drive by it every day and on that annex, and it looks great. But on the interior, what's the goal for rearranging the interior of that?
I think mainly the tax office. Our number one office in that building the public deals with is going to be the tax office.
Sure.
Whether you're doing car tags or property taxes, that's where the public generally is going to go in. So it has, if you haven't, and I'm assuming none of y'all been in since they got the tag side done, the tag side is done. It's not open yet because they shifted all the tax side over there to do business while it's still being under construction. That side is much more streamlined now compared to what it used to be. As far as getting people in and out, I think you'll come to find out it's a lot better with the, they went to that telematics. I don't know if y'all have been to the tag office, but you get a number when you walk in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It directs you which window to go to.
Deli.
Yeah.
But serving number 3.
I was a little hesitant on liking that idea when it first started, until I've been involved in some of those really busy tag offices where you have to go in and sit and wait, and those numbers help out a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keeps the arguing to a minimum. But the new tag office will look a lot better. It will. It seems like it's going to stream a lot better, get people in and out faster. And that's always been one of the biggest complaints about the tag office, the lines taking too long. The way this is, it'll direct you which window to go to, who's open right at the time, and you're not sitting – even if you're talking to somebody, you're not going to miss something because you got your number.
Right. See, they have that system because I've been using the one in Burke, and it's they have that system already over there. So you walk in, and it's a very, very small space, very limited space. I walk in, I get my number, like number 263. I look around, there's like 4 of us there. I'm like, seriously, 263? What is,
they've had a lot of business throughout the day, though.
Yeah. Okay, yes. But, you know, and it seems to be working okay. I think it's still a little, it feels a little clunky there, but maybe just because it's new.
That's because the lobby is smaller than their booth here where we're at right now.
I was going to say, we've got more space behind us than you do over there, yeah.
And they're running, you know, they're running five clerks over there in that small little area. And a table the size we have here, they're running five tag clerks.
Yeah.
So they're spitting out. I mean, they are getting some people through there.
I know I walked into, I go in to vote. You know, we go into of course, the back part of that building there.
My barn, yeah.
It's your barn there, yeah. And every time I go in there to vote, I'm standing there in line. I look over there to my left as the line is moving by, and I see that old – this is the real estate guy. I mean, I see that old Federal Pacific Electric box up there on the wall. I go, dear God, please somebody get rid of that thing before it burns this whole place to the ground.
Luckily, that's a metal building with some insulation. But you're right.
Yeah. Like, please, somebody change that out.
So now, what gives everybody a little bit of idea? What is your district? I know you
precinct two.
Yeah, precinct two. But where does that encompass?
Precinct two goes out west of Burke, almost to Clara Church, out off 240. Comes east, wraps all the way around Burke, the east side of the county, all the way around to 287. Mm-hmm. So I actually have a extremely large amount of land in my precinct. Population's a little lower in that side of the county, so that's why I have more land. Yeah. But what that does do is cause me to have more roads. I won't say that I have more roads than anybody, because I think Jeff Watts in Precinct 4 probably still has just a little bit more roads, but me and him have the most roads of anybody in the county.
Yeah, and that's always probably the biggest complaint that people have is road condition.
Right.
And you're limited by your budget. I mean, you have X number of dollars allocated annually that you can spend on roads, and you have to decide, okay, what's the most critical this year? What's the, you know, where's the deepest pothole this time? You know, I mean, that's kind of how you have to do it, don't you?
And we do that. I mean, that's exactly how we do it.
Yeah.
My budget for roads, in all reality, is about $200,000 to $250,000 a year is all I can spend to do my 130 miles of road. To repair them.
And when you do the math on that, that's not a lot of dollars per mile
you've got. Well, right now it's taking, if I were to come in and just lay hot, an example, I have a 1.2-mile stretch of road this year that I was really wanting to hot lay in my precinct. Yeah. And I say hot lay, that means hot lay asphalt. It's a very heavily traveled road, a lot of truck traffic, mm-hmm. and that was my goal this year. I've been kind of saving up to try to do it. And I was told that I could get it done for around $100,000. By this company. They came out 2-3 weeks ago, gave me an updated bid, and it's $1.2 million.
From what now? From, you said from
$100,000 to now $1.2 million.
So it went up $1 million, $1.1 million.
Yes, and it's 1.2 miles. So
good grief!
That gives you
$100,000 a mile.
No. It's $1 million a mile.
No. Oh, wait, how many miles is
1.2?
Oh, okay.
So a million a mile.
To hot lay asphalt over, it's $1 million a mile.
So that's not repairing any of the base. That's not tearing anything up and making anything stronger beneath.
That would probably be the whole thing.
No. That's not the base. That is going over it with one of those grinders that, you know, kind of levels it a little bit, grind the high spots out.
Right.
We can go over it with a grinder, grind out some, and then just hot lay back over it.
Well, Did they explain the difference?
Well, I mean, there's oil prices are up, rock prices are up, labor prices are up.
Yeah, but I mean,
and he goes, I don't really know what I did when I gave you that price. I had made a mistake.
Wow.
But what I'm getting at is even us to go in and chip seal. And chip seal is most commonly what you see the county do.
Explain that real quick to people, because I live on a gravel road and I've heard people talk about chip seal.
Chip seal is more of a poor man's asphalt road. Right. What it is, but basically what you're doing, you're taking the same ingredients you do from asphalt and you're layering them on the road. You go in and first you go in and fix all your, I'm going to back up a little bit because there's two ways to do it. You can reclaim the road, which grind it all up, put that asphalt back in the base, redo your base, put hardener in it, make a good base, and then come over and chip seal it. Or you can leave your base there and just go through and patch the holes, get your road base back to where you want it level, and then come in and put oil on it, then a layer of rock, and then a layer of oil and a layer of rock. Basically, you're putting the same type of asphalt oil in it. It's what asphalt has in it, mm-hmm. and the same type of rock in it. You're just layering them down, spreading them, and doing it yourself. That way you avoid using a laydown machine, which is the hot lay asphalt machine where you're not having to go in and have pre-mixed asphalt put down on your road.
It sounds like something you'd have in a brothel, a laydown machine.
Yeah.
By the way.
So
the hot lay basically takes all of the it's a single process basically application.
Yeah, you have your asphalt pre-made
right.
to a proper consistency and ingredients. You bring it out on the road
right.
and you lay it down and you
yeah.
you
Whereas the chip seal is a little less scientific in that.
Yes.
A little more rudimentary in how you do that.
But wow. it's definitely even the when I started here as a commissioner, our chip seal roads were probably running us closer to the $50,000 a mile range. Right now we're in the $90,000 a mile wow. range.
It does keep the dust down. Is one of the biggest things that chip seal does compared to.
Well, I mean, it makes a solid surface. Road.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a. It's not going to be a tabletop smooth road.
Right.
It's going to have some rough, you know, some road noise in it because it's rocks. Mm-hmm. We try to, and when we do our roads here, we actually put down a 5/8 rock, then oil, and then a 3/8 rock, a smaller rock. But that smaller rock keeps that road noise down and makes it a lot smoother, you know, especially for like bicycles, stuff like that. Bicycles, motorcycles that take a smaller, you know, smaller rock, mm-hmm. a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, our 3/8 rock price since I took office 3 years ago has gone from about $6 a ton to $25 a ton.
Wow.
Wow.
In 3 years. So, oh. That's a lot of things to overcome as a county commissioner and as a county taxpayer to try to figure out how to make this work. I mean, and that's my biggest thing is I want to spend your taxpayer dollars as well as I want to spend mine. I don't want to waste any money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that. That's one thing I do appreciate about you, Mickey, doing that. Yeah, and no, to be fair, I don't live in Wichita County,
right.
but I still pay Wichita. I pay taxes, property taxes in Wichita Falls. So part of that money does go to the county.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the biggest misnomers that people have about county commissioners are that you guys make a bunch of laws. Actually don't make laws.
No.
Or you might make some ordinances, but
we make no ordinances. All we do is pass court orders.
Is that similar to an ordinance, though, if it was in a municipality?
A court order, no. A court order is more like to say that, you know, we can pass a law that says there will be a speed limit on Smoker Road will be 40 miles an hour. We can do that. We can change the name of a road. I guess you could say something we could do, but it's a court order thing. It's not really ordinances. The only we can pass. We now you talk about that. We did just pass a court order to make I'm trying to think of the proper word in the county where people want to go out and build housing additions.
Mm-hmm.
We have passed some stuff now that you know you have to go check for a floodplain and you have to. You have to do these rules to be able to build a subdivision. A subdivision ordinance is what it is.
Okay.
And it would be considered an ordinance because it is a subdivision type ordinance to where there's laws that regulate what you can do as far as building homes in the county.
Yeah.
But the main laws are you guys are take the laws that the legislature passed down and you enforce or use those laws to create the rules that you live by.
And we're pretty much just that. We get the state legislature rules and we try to our job is to basically enforce those to the county residents.
Okay. How to best implement those here
right.
for your
hopefully without costing us a lot of money.
Right.
Because they usually pass a lot of things that require – they very seldom send money down with it.
What's the biggest word called?
Yeah. Unfunded mandates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing I want to touch on here, of course, we're kind of in that – and we've been in this for a while, the wildfire season.
Yes.
And that is something, especially you know, out in the county, that you got to deal with because – if you're out in the county, you're relying on volunteer fire departments, and you're relying on a lot of volunteer help to combat that, Texas Forest Service and so forth, because most rural communities, well, most fire departments across the country are volunteer fire departments. Very few are actually funded, salaried fire departments. What is the county's overall role in that in terms of helping to mitigate or, when they break out, to combat the wildfires out in the county?
And I was at a fire department meeting last night, and that was one of the things we talked about. Pretty much we rely on our rural fire department chiefs to determine what kind of where we're at in the fire danger system for right now for Wichita County. Mm-hmm. They kind of – we do we touch base with them daily. So we're in constant contact with them. I probably work with the fire departments as much as any commissioner does, because that's what I'm kind of the liaison for. Our emergency management office works with them 100%. We look at the KDBI index, which is the fuel index, to see where the humidity, fire danger levels are with the fuel that's out there, the brush that's out there. Wichita County right now is real lucky. We've had a few rains. We have some good green winter growth here recently that's kind of has kept ours a little bit down compared to some of our surrounding.
And by the way, if you need a place to mow Eddie Hill, or you need something to mow that winter green, Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles does have mowers. Sorry, yep, shameless plug.
But we work with them 100%. They'll let us know when they think that we're getting to a point to where we really need to look at doing a burn ban. Yeah. The commissioner's court is the one that ultimately passes or doesn't pass a burn ban for the county. Mm-hmm. So that's usually up to us. But, you know, I hate to say this, but usually the burn ban is not the issues for big wildfires. It's usually for people out there that are just not paying attention. Right. It's people that are throwing their cigarette butts out the window, that are dragging chains or items down the road on their trailer. That's usually what causes it, not necessarily the people that are out.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of cigarette butts, look, and if you're a smoker, you're a smoker, I don't give a shit. But it's funny that people that would never, if you said, would you throw a McDonald's wrapper out your window? Hell no, I wouldn't do that, but they throw a cigarette butt out the window.
I know.
Right. If you know, for some reason, cigarette butts have always been in a lot of smokers' minds. I'm drawing a big brush here, but cigarette butts have always been exempt from the litter law. In their minds, it's only a cigarette butt. It's yeah. not. It's not litter. It's cigarette butt.
But 1,000 people a day in a particular area, especially a big city, you're going to see a lot of cigarette butts.
So, that's what I'm saying. but it is funny. But if you notice that, you have people. If you go, hey, do you people that smoke? You say, do you litter? No, I don't litter. But they'll throw a cigarette butt out and just not consider that litter because it's a weird thing I've always noticed. You know, I've noticed weird shit, and that's one of the ones I've noticed.
I think I know fewer people today that smoke than I've ever.
Oh yeah,
you know, right. it's less. I think that's less impactful today than maybe it was 30 or 40 years ago. But the other thing too is, you know, someone out there, you know, they start a campfire and they don't ensure that the fire is completely out before they walk away from it, or they're welding, or they're grinding on metal or something, you know, and they don't think about, you know, a little spark is all it takes to set that off.
And I'm a welder by trade. I know. I've lit plenty of my own fires. So.
But trailer chains, that is a big thing. This public service announcement, if you drag a trailer, get those damn chains.
Right.
You know, you need to have the chains, because if you've never had chains, you've ever been fortunate enough to have a trailer pass you while you're going down the road.
That is an interesting concept.
Yes, it is. I have too. I've been there before when a trailer wasn't locked down and no chains, and the trailer passes you on the left as you're driving down the road, and it's an old shit moment. But if you do have chains, just make sure you loop them again or something like that. They just have to be on there and connected, but they don't need to be dragging the ground.
Right, yeah. Dragging the pavement, you're going to have sparks, and that's going to potentially cause a serious problem. So
public service announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, but obviously you guys are working closely with everybody. I know Texas Forest Service, we hear a lot about them around this time of the year when these wildfires break out. Texas Forest Service is very involved.
They're an incredible asset to this county. Yeah. We have them, you know, they're in precinct too. That's where their office is at.
They're based there.
And we try our best to keep them there. We're trying our best to keep them there. It's without a doubt it saves the county residents a ton of money. Because with them being here, we don't take our dozers out on the fires. They take their dozers out. The very first fire that I ever had as a commissioner, took a dozer out, and the dozer broke. And between the overtime and the damaged dozer, I spent $5,000 in less than a couple of hours. Oof. And that's of taxpayer money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love having the Forestry Service here. I don't want to lose them. I'll do whatever I can to keep them here because it's a benefit to our residents.
I guess it was last year we had that huge fire out around 369 out in that area.
I was there fighting it.
Yeah, and I know I saw the Forest Service crews going out, you know, and it looked like a fleet of dozers and equipment, you know, headed out.
And when you have them here, you also have a definite tie-in. You know, we had three air tankers running during that one fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you have those air tankers running, dumping water on our, you know, that fire retardant on our fires, you have that group here. They're going to, if they have a team already here on the ground fighting, I think it can't, it can't hurt our ability to get air tankers here faster.
Sure, absolutely.
Because they want to protect their crews.
Oh, and they have a direct, they're calling it in. You know, you're not calling it in. It's not Mickey Finn Cannon from Wichita County calling it in.
Right.
It's the dude who worked for the same organization you calling it in.
It's their fellow firefighter calling it in saying, we need some help.
Tactical air tactile air coordinators or something like that. But anyway, like the military has.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Mickey, if you had a wish list of, you know, two or three items that you wish you could get done, what would that be?
As far as in my precinct?
Yeah, your precinct.
Truthfully, I would like to – I'm still wanting to get our county precincts all together on the same page of doing some better asphalt repair. Mm-hmm. There's some that's probably one of my number one things. We don't currently have any type of asphalt laying machine. Mm-hmm. What I was talking a while ago, a laydown machine. I have been working with the other commissioners looking at some different asphalt machines. We've always done these chip seal roads, and they're great for county roads. Some of our populations in our urban areas are getting to where our traffic's so high that we really need a little bit better than chip seal roads. So I'm trying to get to the point where we have our own asphalt machine that we can use throughout the county. You know, each office can use it, not just one particular precinct. Also, I'm trying to we're looking at still trying to do a asphalt repair trailer or truck, and there's some great new technology out there dealing with, you know, and we still do it today, patching potholes. You see the county guys out there with the truck, they're throwing stuff in the hole, driving over it, pressing it down. There's some better ways to do it, some different technology that I've been trying to spread with the other commissioners.
Remember, Domino's said they're going to start patching potholes. Maybe I just get everybody to order a Domino's pizza.
And I do remember that. I haven't seen them out patching
Me neither. Yeah, I know.
But there's some technology out there. Our road repair needs to be brought up to a better level. That's probably one of my biggest things.
Totally agree.
Just a curiosity, is there any benefit or has anybody thought about to look into the Wichita Archer and Clay getting together and doing what you're talking about, that somehow
a multi-county effort.
And there is some trouble with that. I've talked to several different commissioners about doing that. When you get into the budgets and you look at how all the counties work, that's a struggle. Doing it in-house in the county is a lot easier. I don't know if this last year we did an interlocal agreement with Archer County, and we went out and did one of their roads, kind of helped them do one. At their not an expense of Wichita County taxpayers, but they paid us for doing it, paid our trucks, paid our labor, paid everything. But they didn't have the equipment to do it or the knowledge to do it. So we kind of showed them, and now they're looking at buying their own equipment like we have. So
you provided the manpower, the equipment, the expertise, and they paid for it.
Yeah. And kind of a teaching event too, so they kind of learn how it does and that it's not that hard a process, something they can't do. So they're
awesome.
They're actually looking at now buying their own machine, but I think this year they've actually asked us to do another road for them, but I don't know how that'll pan out or not.
Let's just start a business, Wichita County Paving.
it's just better to, I mean, really and truly, we just want to do what's right, take care of our taxpayers first. And then if we can help anybody else, we will. But first and foremost, take care of ours.
The border, maybe take care of our own before we let people in.
Imagine that.
And I'd be willing to help do that any day of the week.
no kidding. If people have questions for you, Mickey, how do they get a hold of you?
Easiest way to get a hold of me is through my office. 940-766-8106 is my office. It's answered there all the time by a real person. Most people know my cell, too, and I don't mind giving it out. My cell number is 940-733-7041. I probably get as many calls a day on that as I do my office at work. So
yeah, and you're not just county commissioner; you're also a business owner in the county as well.
I own several businesses. Yeah. I'm getting old enough now to where I don't know that I want to continue opening up new businesses, but I still have several that I have.
And I would welcome you to go ahead and plug them while you're in, if you want to throw the names.
High Caliber Gun Range out on the highway is mine.
By the way, that's a great place. I'm not getting paid to say this. I like to shoot out there. It's one of those all-weather ranges. That's a nice thing about it. There's some good places to go shoot. There's different places, but it's indoors. It doesn't matter if it's hot, cold, raining, sleet, snow, shine, whatever it is, it's a great place to go. And you really can – I've never been there when it's been – every lane's been packed, so it's very efficient. You go in, you pay, you go set up, you can shoot. So if you're on your lunch break, that's a place where you can go because you park right in, you walk right in. You know, some places you go, you have to go down range – go put your targets in and things like right. that. The target comes to you, you hang it up, and you can shoot. You can go in there and you can shoot a box of shells in half an hour and, yeah. and get your get all that out of your system and then go back to work.
And most people want to go shoot. They want to – usually when it's very pretty weather, when it's a perfect time to go shoot, it's also a perfect time to go mow, work on your yeah. house, go do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So usually when people get around to going to shoot, it's either too hot, too windy, too rainy.
Right.
The bull gnats are out. The mosquitoes are out. We have very few mosquitoes in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always clear. So, it's 72. Yeah.
Go ahead. I bet on that one.
Well, and there's an amazing ventilation system you guys have yes. out there to keep the lead all yeah. filtered
everything,
out.
And a lot of times you go to a range out at your place and out in the country or whatever, and you're shooting. You get done shooting, and you got stuff all over you. Yeah. I mean, you've got the gunpowder and stuff over you where it falls back on you. At the gun range, that's a HEPA vacuum system. It sucks everything down range. So when you get done shooting, you don't have any of that grit on you. You're not breathing any of it while you're shooting. It's all being sucked down range and through a HEPA filter.
I got one other topic to ask you, though, before you go, and I meant to ask this earlier. In the last year or so, maybe even 2 years, there's been fiber being laid out in the county and in the rural areas. How have you guys been working? I assume y'all are aware of it anyway.
We're aware of it, but we're not involved.
But they don't.
They're not. That's not anything involving us. It's all private industry.
Okay.
They usually partner with the local right. the electrical company because
right.
they tag on with the electrical right. stuff.
But they have. So. But they did a couple of years ago. There was a survey done, put on by this one organization that because I was the judge.
Gossam
had a thing about the internet. Accessibility or whatever, trying right. to do a survey to find out what internet's out there.
Right.
But
and we have done that because it's part of the broadband,
right.
the broadband, state broadband right. system wanting to do.
Right.
So really and truly all the fiber areas that have good fiber and internet play a big role in determining where we would put any kind of broadband.
Right.
So that's the reason for that survey.
Right. Well, but there's really that. I'm just surprised there hasn't been more effort by, I know there's already a lot of things happening, but I just figured there'd be a little more tie-in with the government entities to just to understand where it's at.
But. That is a long discussion item right there, but the ARPA funding that came out for all that, there's supposed to be another smaller ARPA deal come out for the broadband, strictly broadband. So that's why it kind of got pushed to the side in this original big ARPA deal.
Gotcha.
We forgot M&R. M&R and MyBox are my other two biggest businesses.
Yeah.
M&R Services is a roll-off dumpster business, which has been extremely curtailed by the city of Wichita Falls. Prior administration mm-hmm. the city, they passed some laws that kind of made it where you couldn't properly, as a citizen, you couldn't choose which dumpster company you wanted to use. That has been a hardship for my company. I lost about 80% of my business the day that law went into effect.
Hopefully we can get that rectified.
We have a new mayor and some new city councilmen. Right now it seems pretty positive to get that law amended or changed or abolished or something. But we'll see.
Had the same administration, though, because the city manager is still the same person.
And I will say, yeah, we had prior elected officials.
Okay.
Yeah. Same city administrative staff right. is still
okay,
there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Same city staff right
but,
now
but,
would,
but there
would
has
like
some,
it not to be yeah. changed.
There has been some turnover in the
yeah. But there is a mm-hmm. tremendous amount of citizens that didn't really think how this would affect the city. They didn't really care because they never used it.
Right.
But after that law is passed, so many people call and they're like, "I can't believe they have such a law."
Yeah.
And that is true. I mean, this is probably one of the most progressive type laws I've ever seen passed, and I hope it does get changed. But anyway, MyBox, the storage pods. That's still going pretty good. The city did pass a law to curtail those, but it didn't put me out of business. So yeah. just keep going.
Yeah,
keep I hate city government, county government, state government getting involved in businesses where people can't make a living.
Any government.
Yeah.
I don't like I'm kind of like several of y'all here on this board. I don't like government too much government oversight.
Yeah.
They need to stay in their lane for the
most part. Well, as I've said many times in the past, the best thing government can do for business is get out of the way.
Yeah.
Right.
Let business do what it does
best. Facilitate an environment
yes.
where you can do business
yes.
and then get the hell out of
and
the way.
Get out of the way.
You got to provide the infrastructure, make sure there's infrastructure, and
right.
make sure that there are law protection laws that, you know, that there's laws on the books to protect you from people yeah. coming in your business and stealing from you and that sort of thing, and then get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as well as I do, a poor business will fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let it fail naturally and let it go away. You don't have to stand it up. That's you right. don't have to give it money. The good businesses will work out and the bad ones won't.
That's so, right. Go from sort, they'll all sort themselves out in the end.
There you right. go.
Absolutely. Mickey Fincannon, Wichita County Commissioner, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, thanks. Precinct 2 Commissioner. And again, if you want to get a hold of him, 940-766-8106.
That is correct.
That is the office number. Guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of Get It Right Tech Summit. We appreciate it. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you know how to get the video that way. But you can also take us with you in your car or anywhere you go with Spotify and Apple
Podcasts. And if Podcast. You have an iPad, I learned this real quick. If you have an iPhone, it's so easy. It's like Terry set it up on Mickey's iPhone in like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's already built in.
You just search for Get It Right Texoma as the podcast, and you'll get there.
And if you don't know where your podcast thing is, you go into the search thingy,
just search
and you put podcast, and it comes up. It's already in there.
App right there. All right, guys. Thanks very much. Take care. We'll see you next time. See you down the road.